the senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Or the senator from the 15th.
Does the senator from the 15th yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, good morning.
Good morning.
I did not get up yesterday on the other tax credit bill because it was contributory in nature, but I do want to get up on this tax credit bill. Kind of tell you where I'm coming from. I do think the overall tax credit is one of the better ones that's out there. It's very limited in nature. It's only $3 million. I do think there's a need out there for something to put some incentives on the table to get these sporting events. I was in the committee when they testified that the St. Louis calendar was full, and now we have one on the calendar. So I do understand the need, but my reservation or my concern with this is the overall tax credit reform package, and we've spoke offline about this, but I want to be very public about where I'm coming from on tax credits in general. You know that I've, over the last 2 years in the Senate and 1 year prior to that probably in the House, I've really, really been on reforming tax credits because we're taking more and more money out of the general revenue pool and we're putting it to things that may be good but may not be good, but it's continued to be the fastest growing part of our budget. Mm-hmm. Every year, if you look at the tax credit expenditures, money that's taken away, it's becoming more and more. It's faster growing than Medicaid. It's faster growing than our money that's going to elementary and secondary education. And I don't think that necessarily lines up with our opinions and what we really want to do in this body. And so what I'm going to do today, well, on Thursday or whenever we third read this, is I'm going to vote no. Because I want the bigger package before we get this done. Now, I respect the pro tem and his desire to send a signal over to the House that we're willing to work and get some compromise and get some things done on this. But I think it's important that I publicly come out here and being an advocate for change, not to backtrack and vote for tax credits before we get that change that we've worked so hard on. And I know you've worked hard on it, and I know we're going to have some hearings either today or tomorrow this week on tax credit reforms, a bigger package. And I'm looking forward to that discussion in committee and getting that bill out here and hopefully being able to save the state some money on these tax credits and sending that over to the other body. And hopefully we'll get something done and send it to the governor this year so we can save the taxpayers of Missouri some money and move in the right direction on these tax credits.
Well, I appreciate it, and I know you've worked hard, and the senator from Nottoway, where I were kidding, you know, a couple of days. I mean, we've spent an entire summer trying to get to a place where we could get, and we had $1.5 billion with all that stuff. I share that same desire, and I think it is important, though, to remember, at least this is the way I view the world, is some of these, as we look to how we recalibrate what we do, you know, the ones that make sense and the ones that we're probably too much involved with and we need to reduce our exposure to. I mean, I think all that is very appropriate, and it's my intention, obviously, to move that package forward on taking a look at those very issues, and we have hearings scheduled next week. So I share that same desire, but I also think it's important for us to send a signal that if there is something that we think makes some sense, that we're able, you know, to move forward on. I think long-term, Senator, that will provide more of an opportunity for us to act, because the playbook from a couple years ago on how we brought some of these issues to a head is a little bit of a different playbook now. We just have to recognize, you know, how this all fits together.
I want to make sure it's very clear that as I'm going to let this one go and not be part of any kind of bigger picture to stop this one, that this is a one-time little, hey, we're going to send this over, we're wanting the bigger package, don't expect every year for us to fail on the bigger package and come forward with a small tax credit, and I think we're going to continue to pass the small tax credits to move forward on smaller. We need reform. I'm willing to let this one go with the fact that we're looking at bigger reform this year.
Yeah,
if that bigger reform does not happen, I'm not going to be in the same situation next year.
Yeah, it's your prerogative. I am hopeful that we can get that done this year, which is why I think we're going to try to do it sooner rather than later. God, I hope so.
I'm ready to put this chapter behind us and move forward on.
Yeah,
some other
I think
things.
It's time to turn the page, but that is going to require a lot of hard work. Like I said the other day, you know, we didn't come up here just to work on consent bills. Some of this stuff is hard, but I think we begin that process yesterday. We continue that process today, and moving forward, I think we get to some of the bigger issues you're talking about.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Thanks. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 5th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from the 15th.
Does the senator from the 15th yield?
Yes.
Thank you. Let me first apologize to the body as well as you, Senator. I think I called you gentleman earlier.
Yeah, so I take offense.
I truly apologize, and thanks for not gaveling me down. That would have been embarrassing. However, can you tell me, did we have any opposition to this bill in committee?
It was a 9-0 vote, right?
I mean, in terms of those individuals that testified, did we have anyone testifying in opposition
to
this?
No.
Who do we have testifying in support of it? For the whole body to know.
You have the St. Louis Sports Commission, Dave Peacock, the former head of Anheuser-Busch, who is the president, or the I should say the chairman of the Sports Commission, testified in support. You had the folks from Joplin testify. I don't have it in front of me. I'm trying to remember. You had the folks from Joplin testify in support. You had the folks from Kansas City, the Sports Commission in Kansas City, testify in support. You had the City of St. Louis testify in support. You had St. Louis County testify in support. I know St. Charles County is supportive. I can't remember if they were there or not. You had, in the past, the number of the CVBs, the convention and visitor bureaus across the state, headed by Marcy Bennett and St. Joseph. They've been in support. So there's a broad array across the state for us to move forward on this.
Again, there was no one testifying against it.
That's correct.
And I truly believe that many of those that testified in support of the bill, I can truly say many of them are experts when it comes to sports and entertainment and what it takes to cultivate dollars in that field.
Yeah.
Isn't that true to say? All right. Now, there is no sunset on this.
No, there is. It's a six-year sunset.
Six-year sunset.
Yep.
Okay. And the
so the legislature can come back and say, you'll be here. I won't be here. They can come back and say, you know what, this was the greatest thing we've ever done, and we want to expand it. Or they could say, you know what, this didn't work out the way we thought it was going to work out. And they can but that legislature will then have the opportunity to review it 6 years from now.
Now, do you think the floodgates are going to open once we pass this in terms of those sports entities trying to get the tax credit?
Do I think what now?
Do you think there will be a floodgate of individuals going after these tax credits?
I hope so. I mean, I think that'd be great for our economy. It's capped, so there's a limit to the amount of incentive that's actually available. But if you take the perspective that this helps grow the economy, that this helps support small businesses across the state that are surrounding the tourism industry, and it generates revenue for our state in a time in which that's what one of our challenges is, as we fund, you know, mental health services and all K-12, all the things that we talk about, I believe this grows our economy. And the more events we have, the better. And we'll see, because it's going to be their responsibility to go out and, you know, sell St. Louis or sell Kansas City or sell Joplin or sell Cape. And now they have the additional backing of knowing that they're going to provide a certain level of support for these events.
You know, I used to be a small business owner, and I know that in order to make money, you have to spend money. And I can say that if we're going to take tax credits and for the purpose of cultivating the economy, I don't think that we're going to hurt the general revenue. Because like you said, you know and I know that if we're able to bring the type of sports events that we talked about earlier to the state of Missouri, we're talking major dollars.
Well, and I agree, sir. If you've ever been to one of these events, I just want people to envision. When you go to one of these events, and the statistics show, basically, that 9 out of 10 people that are sitting in those stands are from somewhere else, okay? When you go to those events, you want to have a good time, you know? You're buying the T-shirt, you're buying the hat, you're going out to eat, you're staying at a hotel, you may buy a Budweiser, you may buy a Diet Coke, I don't know, but you're having a good time.
Go to the mall.
You may go to the mall.
Yeah, you may go
you know,
to the mall.
You may go to downtown Kirkwood and see scenic downtown, I don't know. You may do a lot of things, but in my view, that's healthy, that's about growth, and that's the conversation that I think we need to start having around here.
You know, this is an out-of-the-box type of thinking on your part. I truly appreciate you, Senator, bringing forth this piece of legislation to really turn up the noise when it comes to how we bring forth ideals to cultivate our economy here. So once again, thank you, Senator.
Thank you. There's a lot of people, but just to be clear, there's a lot of people that have spent a lot of time, the Senator, you know, from,
well, I commend each and every
Newton
one of you.
And Senator from the 24th, the people in the committee. This has been a collaborative effort. And like I said, because of this process on the floor over the last few years and all the work that's gone into it in the interim, I think this is a better bill than what was originally filed. And that's what the Missouri Senate should be about. So
Thank you, Senator. Hopefully when I sit down, we'll close.
I don't think so. Senator from the Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the senator from the 15th.
Does the senator from the 15th yield?
Yes.
He does.
Thank you for taking my inquiry, Senator. I've heard the number 3 million several times today, but in fact this bill creates $13 million in tax credits, doesn't it?
Well, it's a question of what you're, if you want to talk about the fiscal impact of the state, that's not accurate.
Okay. Could you explain that to me? Because the one section says that the department can issue $3 million, and the other section says they can issue $2 million.
Right. And this was part of the discussion I had with the senator from the 4th. The $3 million is for the enticement of having these events here. The other $10 million is related to the contribution credit. So basically, when somebody wants to participate in that effort, they're paying up front to the Department of Economic Development the face value of that credit. So DED isn't out anything. And as I said earlier, in fact, I would argue they're ahead because of the time value of money and the interest that can be gained from having that money up front. And then that credit then is a 50% deduction of tax liability for the donor. The sponsoring entity, it has the availability of the other five. But as it relates to what your question is, the $10 million that goes to the state, they're made whole immediately. So there is no fiscal impact. And this is not, we've done this before.
So explain that to me again. They put the money up, which
right.
is then spent to attract sporting events to the state.
Well, the for the purposes of the bidding process, I think it's best to look at it this way. It's for the purposes of the bidding process and that competitive process, that's where the $3 million is available. Okay?
I see.
If you're looking for additional support for those sports commissions as they also try to underwrite the cost for these events. Because make no mistake, this credit will not go to a place that would allow these sports commissions to be made whole for sponsoring the event. It's a portion of it. So to help underwrite that the cost of that event, they receive the benefit of that donation. But as far as it's related to the state is made whole and there is no fiscal impact. And the senator, I will confess,
I think I understand
the senator from the 24th
now.
Has come running into the chamber. As we worked through this over the last couple years, he was, I think that, I'm not trying to direct anything to him, but this, we believe that this was a good thing, and the Senator from the 24th spent probably a little more time than me on it.
I think I understand what you're saying there. You've explained that piece, but, and once again, I have to tell you, I'm not an attorney. I just only read things from a layman's point of view, but I don't know, but I feel that there might be a little error in the language here.
Okay, let's explore that.
So on page 5, section 67.3005, look at line 7.
Page 5.
Line 7. And it says basically that...
What section are you on, Senator?
67.3005.
Okay.
On page 5.
Section 1 of that. Okay.
Right. Line 7. It says that the amount of the tax credit claimed shall not exceed the amount of the taxpayer's state income tax liability in the tax year for which the credit is claimed. But isn't it true that this tax credit wouldn't necessarily involve just only state income tax, but also corporate franchise tax and also financial institution tax?
Yes, I believe those are the chapters referenced.
So wouldn't you want it to not exceed the amount of the tax, all those taxes too?
otherwise due under Chapter 143, 147, or 148.
143 is income tax, 147 is corporate franchise tax, 148 is financial institutions tax.
Okay.
And so I just wonder if, you know, if that's a little bit of an, maybe you've limited it to where, I mean.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. I'm comfortable with it.
Okay, well, I mean, that's okay. I just don't know. The second thing is if you look at line 12.
Yes.
It says, to claim the credit authorized, the certified sponsor or local organizing committee shall submit the application. Okay. Well, it seems to me that the one claiming the credit, since it uses the word claim the credit, we're talking about the same word claim up in line 6. It also uses the word claim. So it seems to me that the taxpayer that's claiming the credit is the same entity that is making the claim in line 12 and 13.
Well, I think the way to look at it probably, if you're envisioning kind of a flow chart in your head, the sponsoring entity is the one making the application. However, they don't have the ability to make that application without the donor that has contributed those funds. And so as that credit is then issued, it flows back to from the sponsoring entity to the donor.
All I'm trying to say is that can you not see that somebody could make an argument that since the local organizing committee, which is more than likely a not-for-profit entity, and would therefore have no tax liability, it almost appears that there isn't anybody who could ever have this credit.
Except for that the credit, as it, all credits are transferable.
Well, I know, but what I'm trying to say to you is that...
Well, if you're right, which I don't argue, if the sponsoring entity claimed it, it's theoretically, if they weren't selling it, they may not be able to use it.
Listen, it's your
bill.
That's
to their detriment. And so I have to believe that people are rational actors in this marketplace, and they'll do what is in their best interest.
I'm just simply saying that this bill might be interpreted as saying that the person, since the person claiming the tax credit and the person claiming the credit, they use the same words, is going to be a not-for-profit, that the taxpayer won't have any liability, so therefore you couldn't ever claim the credit. I'm just simply saying that the way it's worded, think about it, may be a problem. Now, I also have a concern about the $3 million tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
That one also is only really ever going to be claimed by someone who's not-for-profit, isn't it?
Yeah, explicitly only allowed by either a sponsoring municipality or county or the...
And those are all not-for-profits.
Yes.
So basically what we're doing is we're creating a tax credit that we absolutely know is going to be sold to someone else to be claimed. Is that not true?
Yeah, except to the extent that a not-for-profit theoretically could use it to reduce their tax liability to maintain the not-for-profit status.
And is that an income tax or a corporate franchise tax?
It probably wouldn't be. They probably wouldn't qualify for the corporate franchise
tax. Well, that's what I'm trying to
say. But it could be the income. Yeah, but I think, look, you're right. The likely scenario is, of course, that they're using the ability to market the credit to help underwrite the
And they're going to get 85% on it.
Well, they differ. I mean, you're talking about the efficiency of the credit. Some of them are a lot greater than that.
Oh, 90-some percent.
Yeah, right.
It just seems odd to me that we would be, you know, doing it in a way that is not efficient for the person we're trying to help.
Well, under our constitutional scheme, without being able to cut checks, basically, right, it is the most efficient way. So much like, what is it, democracy, it's not the perfect form of government, but it's the best form of government. I mean, this is, if we're trying to get at this issue, this is the best strategy to do it.
Well, I share the same concerns as the senator from the 8th. And I'd like to know what our overall tax credit plan is. And my feeling is that, doggone it, here we are creating another $3 million tax credit. I mean, it helps your district, I mean, to get the Final Four, but it doesn't do a whole lot for my district.
Well, actually, Kirkwood won't host the Final Four.
Well, whatever it is, I mean, the thing is that, you know, I'd like to, over in my side of the state, I'd like to see, you know, annual investor.
Well, sure, but we're talking about, okay, in this world, right, of amateur sporting events, St. Joe has a great opportunity. The counties that you represent have a great opportunity.
Isn't something that's really going to help my city.
Well, in your
I tell you what will help
in
it,
your
Mosaira.
View.
Mosaira will help it. Data center tax credit. That would
help. I support both of those.
Well, so my question to you is, are you committed to, you know, getting some other tax credits, you know, as well as caps on the two big problem ones?
Absolutely. If you
see, here's what I don't want to have happen. At the end of the day, on May the 17th, I don't want this tax credit to be the law of the land and not have the caps on the other two and not maybe have some good reform and including some of the tax credits that are needed over there.
Sure. Look, you have, I believe I have a track record on this, and I am committed. All you need to do is look at the committee hearing schedule for tomorrow in January. Of what we're going to be considering. The way I viewed this, and I've expressed it, maybe you and I have not had this conversation explicitly, but I'm happy to have it here on the floor for everybody to hear. I believe that the best strategy for moving forward on economic development and tax credit reform is to establish our ability with its benevolence, and then the one here that makes a lot of sense, that has, in my view, a very positive fiscal impact, that's run the gauntlet, that's received all the scrutiny, been around for a while, for us to be able to move forward on that, to send a statement that we can operate in a way to review these things individually. However, that also requires, I think, the view for us to move forward on, there are other ideas that are out there that have been vetted for a while, and there's also significant tax credit reform that I believe we need to move forward on. And so I believe that is the next stage of where we're going, and I hope to do it sooner rather than later. Can I promise you that people somewhere else with different, you know, perspectives, that everything that we want in that whole package will ultimately be on May 17th, the law of the land? I can't. I'll do the best I can in working with you and other members who care about this issue very deeply. We have shown a commitment here in the Missouri Senate, I think, to tackle these issues. 2 years ago, we found some incentives that we believe made sense, but also found, you know, $1 billion to $1.5 billion in savings over 15 years. I think we're committed to finding savings in programs that need to be reformed, but also finding a way to move forward on things like data centers and other ideas that are out there. And so that's my perspective.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you are committed to getting those things done, but you can't really guarantee me that at the end of the day, if this passes out of this chamber, that it might become the law of the land, but caps on low-income housing, historic preservation, and the other tax credit action that would help my side of the state, you can't guarantee that those things are going to be addressed.
I am not.
Although you'd like it to have happen,
yeah,
but you're
right.
Just not right.
Yeah, it is not a monarchy, and I'm not a dictator. But I am expressing to you my sincere desire to accomplish all of these things.
Well, if I were, I want to just tell you that, like the senator from the 8th, you know, I told you my position. I don't think that we should move on a tax credit myself, create a whole new tax credit without reforming the others and, you know, me being able to advocate for my side of the state. I don't like it that we're doing that. And because of the fact that you can't give me a guarantee, then I'm going to have to give it a no vote. But I'm not to the point where I am going to hold up your train. I just don't like it. I would like to see at the end of the day, and I may come around later on if everything works into place, but I just want you to know where I am.
Well, I'm gonna do my best, and I, you know, try to be open about what I view the strategy to be, and I will do everything I can to make sure we accomplish all these goals.
I hope you understand and respect my position.
I do. I get it. No, I
understand that this is good for you. I also hope that you will just please look at the language issue that I pointed out to you, because it may be a problem for you.
I appreciate your scrutiny, and if because of these conversations that have happened over a period of years, again, I think we're in a better place, so I appreciate you spending the time and actually reading the bill.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Send the amendment forward.
It's been distributed. I'd request a waiver of the reading. This amendment ends in .09S.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment makes two changes. The first change that it makes is it says that in order to qualify for the credit, that whatever the competition that we're recruiting would have to have been competitively bid amongst more than one state. And the reason for that is this. What I did not want to have occur is I did not want to have, for example, Misha, who every year hosts the Missouri State basketball tournaments, right? Well, if they, under the current wording of the bill, if they would go to competitive bid amongst communities in Missouri, then in theory they could qualify for reimbursement under the tax credit. The goal of this credit is not to entice just the activity that's already occurring in Missouri. It's to entice outside activity to come into Missouri. These regional competitions, potentially maybe someday an NCAA tournament, those types of things. So thus competitively bid for more than one state. The second component of this, which is the bottom part of the bill, it changes from the word for to the word to, and that's how long that we are going to actually, this credit trails. Part of the liability challenges that we have in our state right now when it comes to tax credits is there's never a point in many of the programs where the credit actually drops off the books, meaning there's a finite window by which you can use the credit in. Because of that, we really don't know at any given point what credits we actually have outstanding. There are credits from 10, 15 years ago that may have been issued that have never been redeemed. And because of that, and because there's nothing on the books that ever brings that to a finite end in many of the programs, not all of the programs, that financial liability tail, for lack of better term, is always there. I wanted to tighten that window. So what, by changing from the word four to the word two, what it essentially says is that they have two fiscal years following the year the credit was issued. So if a credit would be issued this year, they would have this year, next year, and the year after. Essentially 3 years to redeem the credit. I believe both of these changes make the bill better and actually ensure that what we are trying to incentivize actually happens. If there are questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I renew the motion for the adoption of this amendment.
The senator from Holt moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to the Senate Committee Substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you rise?
To speak in favor of the amendment.
Senator, what's the purpose again?
Speak in favor of the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think these two changes are consistent with the intent of the bill. The intent had always been for this to be to add to our ability to compete as these events are being competitively bid across the country. That additional language with regard to requiring more than one state is fine with me. I think it makes sense, and the carry forward provision, which is the second piece of this from 4 to 2, is fine. And so I would encourage the body to support the amendment.
Any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 1? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Andrew renews his motion for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 10 and 25. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Please send it forward.
This amendment has not been distributed. It is short and can be read. I'll wait for the reading and then I'll move for the adoption.
Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment Number 2, offered by Senator Lager. Amend Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bill number 10 and 25, page 4, section 67.3000, line 125, by striking the word 3 and inserting in lieu thereof the word, quote, 2, end quote.
President.
Senator from Andrew, would you care to explain your amendment?
I would. I'll move for the adoption of the amendment. What this does is this takes, there's two tax credits, or there's two credits that are in this bill. The first credit has a $10 million cap. The second credit has a $3 million cap. This takes the credit that is a $3 million cap and moves it down to $2 million. The $10 million credit is a credit that essentially costs the state nothing because the credit is pre-purchased. The entities put up the money for the credit, then it's issued and redeemed against. So the state as a whole never actually spends a dollar. The second credit, which is the competitive credit, is currently capped at $3 million. Now, I believe that $2 million will actually be more than enough, and here's why. The grand hoopah of recruiting sporting activities to our state would be an NCAA tournament, to host the NCAA. If that happens, we estimate that approximately somewhere around 200,000 tickets could potentially be sold. So 200,000 tickets would be approximately the high water mark. 200,000 tickets times $5 a ticket, which is how it works under this proposal, is $1 million. So we can recruit the biggest, greatest sporting event to our state for $1 million. So even if that happened, we would still have an additional $1 million to issue in credits in any given fiscal year. I believe those two together will probably always catch everything that we need. However, as I articulated last night, I would again articulate today. I am a believer that you set caps as strong and reasonable as possible. If those caps are met, those who need more cap space have the ability to come to us and articulate why they need more. The senator from the 15th and I have talked about this. I respect, although disagree with his position, that he wants $3 million. I believe that $2 million will easily get us. If we are fortunate enough to have a time where the $2 million cap is being hit, that means we've had a tremendous inflow of this activity in our state. And this legislative body has the ability to increase that cap. So this is my same consistent argument that I had last night. It's for the same reason. I believe that as this credit gets started, $2 million is ample. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Andrew has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the First, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the senator from Nottoway.
Senator from Andrew, yield. He does proceed.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand your argument for why we need to lower this. It's your belief that we simply don't need $3 million because the largest event this could possibly bring in your estimation, would bring in $1 million, leaving plenty left over for other things that year, and so therefore we don't need to go to $3 million. Is that your...
First of all, my belief is that we will not spend more than $2 million in the first several years of this program. If we do, then great. That means we have brought a tremendous amount of economic activity well, to the state.
But if we do, then not great. Because if we lower it to $2 million and we're in a situation where we fall somewhere between 2 and 3 with this amendment, the credit won't be sufficient to cover the competitive expense. We fall short, don't we?
We don't know that.
We miss out on opportunities.
We don't know.
Or do I not understand?
Okay, under that philosophy, Senator, we should set no caps on anything and spend until we're drunk, which, by the way, we've already hit that point, thus we have the financial problems we have. My point is we have to have a reallocation of the way we view these things.
But I think you've made my point for me. If under that rationale, $3 million, if the concern is we're just not going to hit the cap, you really could strike 3 and insert 50 or whatever you would want. And in your worldview, it wouldn't make any difference because we're not going to come anywhere close to that. So what's the problem with leaving it at 3
if
you don't think we're going to hit it?
The problem is one of what I believe is fiscal restraint, which is I agree that whether it's $3 million or $2 million, in all reality, in the first several years, we're not going to hit it. I'm not debating that, Senator. What I'm debating is that if the program starts to utilize the credit, I believe it is always in general policy, good government for those who are receiving the credit to come and articulate what has occurred and why they need additional cap space. This is no different than the way that we dealt with quality jobs. When the senator from the 32nd passed the quality jobs program back in the mid-2000s, they started with a very low cap. And every year, every 2 or 3 years, they would come back and they would actually tell us, here's what we have in the pipeline, here's what we believe the economic opportunities are, and we need the ability to increase that cap. And you know what happened, Senator? Every year, the legislature increased the cap. And the reason we did it was because we knew that if we allocated the resources, there were actual opportunities ready to come. And so my belief is that process worked very well. It provided budget certainty and fiscal restraint, and the legislature, when they deemed necessary, were able to increase the cap. And that's how I actually believe all programs should work.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President, may I inquire of the senator from the 15th?
The senator from the 15th yield for an inquiry.
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
It is a pleasure to be working with you again. This is your bill, so my first question, very simply, do you support this amendment?
I do not.
And could you tell me why?
Sure. Well, to give a little bit of background here, when this bill was originally filed 4 years ago, it was actually a $10 million cap, and the structure by which the credit was awarded was much different. As it worked its way through the process, as I mentioned earlier today, over the past 4 years, it's been finely tuned. I believe that through that finely wrought procedure here in the Senate, it's been made to be a better bill. And basically, you have a third of what it was before, and a mechanism that ensures that this is a positive for the taxpayer. So here's my rationale on why I don't particularly understand, and we just disagree on this point of why it should be 3 than 2. I think it's an arbitrary number to say we reduced it. But it's already been reduced. Mission accomplished. The natural protection here is the $5 per ticket credit, because the assumption is that somebody's spending a little over $100 when they go to one of these events, as we discussed earlier. That's a hotel room. Forget about the food or the souvenirs or anything else that people buy. So if you know you're going to get a positive return based on that very conservative assumption, there's no reason to cap it at 2 instead of 3. In fact, you should be arguing for a higher cap here, theoretically, because that would mean more economic activity in the state and a greater return to the state and for those businesses that are affected. So in my view, compromises have already been made from the cap. We've made, I think that the senator from Nottoway has raised some valid issues to make the bill better. I just think this is an arbitrary reduction. $3 million is a number that we've been talking about through this process over the last couple years. That isn't a new number. And the theory behind it, in my view, is very solid when you have the per-ticket credit awarded. Because what I don't want to have happen is you have that Final Four event in St. Louis. I don't want the rest of the state, you know, locked out from having the Ohio Valley Conference in Cape, right, or the MIAA tournament in Maryville. And then, by the way, the Northwest Missouri State Bears are a fantastic Division II football team. Bearcats. I wouldn't want the senator from Nottoway's hometown, his university, locked out of these opportunities. So I think the $3 million makes more sense. So I do oppose his amendment.
Do I detect a trace of the Hickory Stick rivalry in your remarks?
Yeah, you're, Senator, a Truman guy. We've doubled. And in fact, I don't know what county he's from. Another Truman. There's three now. Where there once was one, there are now three Truman State alums in this chamber. And one Northwest Missouri State alum.
Very, very pleased to add to the number. Mr. Senator, speak on the amendment. Mr. President, speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
What's before us is the tension between the risk of setting the cap too high and the risk of setting the cap too low. And I think the bill sponsor and some civic organizations that I've heard from on this issue are concerned that in this case, the danger of setting the floor too low is greater than the danger of setting it too high. If the amendment sponsor's view is correct, that in fact we're not going to use $3 million, I really don't see what harm comes from setting the cap here. In this case, I agree with the bill sponsor and would respectfully request that my colleagues vote no on the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the senator from Butler.
Senator from Butler. Senator from Butler, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, this is actually the first time that you've been up in debate. Now, you better watch it because your shoulders are dangerously close. Look at Mr. President up there. Look at the president. Look at him now. You see? Now, Senator, you can turn as long as your shoulders don't actually break the plane of... Look at me. You can look over. You can look back. Look back here. Senator, I'm trying to help you. Please, Senator, just look back here a little bit. You can turn your head around. You can turn your shoulders a little bit. I'm trying to help you here.
I'm fine. Go ahead.
Come on.
I'm fine. Go ahead.
You can keep turning. When you see him pick up the gavel, then you'll know that you're turning about far enough. Really, I'm serious. You got to not be afraid. You can look back here. Look at what I'm doing. I mean, see?
Go ahead and do your cartwheel. That's fine.
Oh. What's your opinion on this amendment, Senator?
I'm doing a good job of listening, and I'll formulate my opinion later on.
Oh, that's fine. Did you see the thing that I put on your desk from the MoHealthNet Oversight Committee that I attended today?
I see something here with your name on it, yes.
Okay, well, today I attended the MoHealthNet Oversight Committee. Senator, you don't have to talk about the amendment. Did you know that? You can talk about any subject you want. We could discuss the weather. We could talk about the way the flag is hanging on the pole up there. I'm trying to just kind of loosen everyone up here a little bit. This business from the MoHealthNet Oversight Committee, which I attended today, and of which I'm a member along with the senator from the 4th, who I missed today, this was handed out, and what it talks about is the governor's recommendations on MoHealthNet expansion. And the thing that I wanted to point out to the body and to you was that they've made the assumption that Medicaid benefits will be paid at commercial reimbursement levels, not at Medicaid levels. That's a really big deal. I mean, normally under Medicaid, providers, which are physicians and hospitals and so on, they get paid 63% of Medicaid or Medicare. Commercial reimbursement levels are like 110-120%. And that has real deep meaning. And then I also wanted to just point out to you that there was another piece of literature that I left on everyone's desk. Did you get that? It was about DSH payments. It was just a couple of days ago. Yesterday, maybe.
I believe I did.
Did you? Did you see it?
I think I did, yes.
Well, the thing is the reason that I was putting that out there was that it lists the DSH payments by hospital so that when you hear that the Medicaid expansion is going to affect DSH payments by hospitals, you can kind of see how much of the hospital in your area would be affected. Mm-hmm. Senator, thank you for letting me inquire of you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Senate Amendment Number 2. Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 2? Senator from the 15th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Speak against the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've already stated the reasons for my opposition to the amendment.
We've worked together to find common ground on the things that we could find common ground on. We just don't see a real reason or a rational basis for this, given the fact that we have the $5 per credit or per ticket credit, which makes this thing accountable, ensures that the taxpayers come out ahead. And we should want more of these things. And I certainly don't want to lock out other communities that may be more aggressive in trying to attract these to their region. So with that, Mr. President, I reiterate my opposition to the amendment.
Senator from the 24th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
Senator from Nottoway, I appreciate your amendment. I really appreciate your earlier amendments. It's amazing to think that here we are, like, after the bill had been perfected, and then obviously the motion withdrawn, that we found a way to make me feel even more comfortable that the state will break even on this. And so the reason I use that, that's how I view... I'm not a big tax credit fan. I know that's an opinion that I hold. Other people hold different opinions. And for me, the compromise that I've sought is to be able to be comfortable with the fact that the state will break even on this proposition. That's how we evolved to this per-ticket credit idea. That's how we evolved to this idea that the assumption is that $100-some-odd will be spent and then the state will break even. The earlier amendment that you presented allayed another concern I had, which was that there would be interstate events. My daughter's gymnastics program in Blue Springs could have actually qualified for the credit, if not for your very thoughtful amendment. I was comfortable in thinking before that the state would break even. With the addition of your earlier amendment, I couldn't be more comfortable that the state will break even. I'm hopeful, as are most of us here, that it's better than that. But my concern would be is that monies we would lose, and I feel very strongly the state will at least break even, and in all likelihood do better than break even. So I think that the caps as placed on today are fine. I appreciate the thought behind your amendment, but I feel very comfortable in suggesting that the state will break even at $5 a ticket. And so therefore, it will have been it'll be a good program that could be put to good use, and that in the worst case, the state's broken even.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the amendment? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
As I said before, part of the discussion and part of what we are going to have to work through this session and what are reasonable caps and where are we as a body as we look at our fiscal picture moving forward, where are we comfortable starting programs at? Where are we comfortable resetting programs that are in place today where they need to be set at? And everything we talked about last night, even this credit here, let's all be honest with ourselves, they're not going to make or break the bank. The reality is, though, is that we as an institution have got to begin this process of having meaningful discussion about reasonable and fiscally responsible caps. While the Senator and the 15th and I just candidly disagree on whether it's $3 million or $2 million, the reality is that we are, I believe, as a body, moving in the right direction and understanding that the real crutch of our tax credit crisis lies in a handful of other credits that we are going to have to work through as we move forward. So for me, I believe $2 million is a very reasonable number. I do not believe that we're going to reach that number. So the practical implication of $2 million or $3 million is probably going to be the same. But I also believe that when programs start to grow, the responsible thing from a good public policy perspective is that they have to come back to the legislature for review, or in this case, an increase of their cap. It ensures accountability, and it also leaves the opportunity for programs to be tweaked as we move forward. With all of that said, I am a person who believes, especially in programs of this size, that the will of the body will prevail. So whatever we as an institution decide, I'm comfortable moving forward with.